A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business could be a driving force to create change or build an empire. We know old ideas aren't cutting it anymore, so we're calling for a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's up to us to make it happen. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. This time we conclude our discussion with Larry Frank, president of LA Trade Tech College. We discuss the connection between workforce development and economic development, the kinds of training partnerships that LATTC has forged, and we take a gaze into the future.
So I want to move on because I want to make sure that our listening audience gets the benefit of your like very rich perspective on looking at these things from many different viewpoints. I am curious what your answer to this next question would be. Is workforce, we've talked about workforce development, you know, a lot in the last 20, 30 minutes. Is workforce development possible without economic development? And depending on how you answer that, how do you see the role of LA Trade Tech College in economic development?
Yeah. So, you know, when I was a deputy mayor in the city of LA, I had my hands on the community development department. It was one of my departments I was responsible for. And in the course of it, we actually changed the name from community development to the Department of Economic and Workforce Development. And I think they have to be connected if you're going to create true opportunity, right, in communities. So, you know, economic development is a big piece of, you know, what we do here in partnership with a lot of our, you know, major businesses. We, you know, are the training partner for, with right now, the Bombardier and Lynx, a group of five businesses that are doing a new kind of funding strategy with government. You know, it's a traditional, you know, P3 public-private partnership. But in this situation, it's kind of 30-year ownership of design, build, finance, operate, and maintain the automated people mover out of the airport. They're doing the same thing with the massive rent, you know, Conrack and Consolidated Rent-A-Car facility getting built next. They're doing that with a number of major projects now in the city of Los Angeles, which is the building of the new City Hall adjacent building is being done as a DB FOM. And so, you know, their workforce development is a key part of it, and the city's able to sort of prioritize the workforce development part of it. But, you know, we actually work also in the private sector through a lot of our partnerships. You know, could mention something about the work we do with the South LA Promise Zone that played the key role in getting the Lucas Museum to locate here in Los Angeles, just a few miles away from Trade Tech. But workforce development has got to be a big piece. And, you know, the role that in construction, what we've been able to do in the city in creating project labor agreements that actually can pipeline major construction projects, take some of the labor concerns out of it by making sure there's no work stoppages during these, you know, massive construction projects. But the real community piece of it is structuring in, you know, how work is brought to those projects. So traditionally, it comes based on how long somebody, if it's a union project, how long their people are out of work, and, you know, how much seniority they have, and that's who gets on the project. But if you want to have people come based on where they live to do local hire, or in the case of federal dollars, targeted hire, you need a superseding contract, a set of agreements between the developer, the unions, and the signatory contractors, and that builds in the 30 to 50% local hire, 10 to 15% disadvantaged workers based on characteristics. And there are ways that this really is a workforce development tool that can actually prioritize public support for economic development, public support for the funding of economic development as well through the different bond measures, et cetera. So there, it's really, I think, you know, the public will feel a hell of a lot better about funding a bond measure for something infrastructure, be it, you know, transit or, you know, something else, if they feel like those jobs are going to become available truly, you know, not through some kind of kinship-based system, but based on, you know, merit and opportunity for everybody.
So I just read about Crenshaw Crossing and the arrangement that the company building that massive mixed-use development, I think it's the Watt Companies, they had a newly announced arrangement with something that I think that you and your colleague Effie Turnbull-Sanders are close to. And so they just announced in a relationship with CRCD, the Coalition for Responsible Development. Yep. I feel like CRCD is like literally the poster boy or poster girl for, you know, what happens when workforce development meets economic development. Is that broadly on point?
So they've done some really remarkable work to figure out how the city can connect up in a positive way with the communities that they serve. They have now the contract for the Worksource Center, and it's right in the middle of our campus. So we have 14 people working on placing our students into jobs, right? They also have a number of development arms. They have 50% owner of the Dunbar Hotel, the historic African-American hotel in South Los Angeles on Central Avenue. They have contractors that are some that are actually union signatories to do work, you know, sidewalk repair, you know, rebuilding. They have affordable housing as well, opportunities. And they are now the job coordinator on the new Crenshaw Crossing.
Very cool.
You know, our students are going to get big opportunities to actually work, you know, on that project. Yep.
That's just a couple more quick questions, but and a very important one for anyone out there listening who's in a position to make partnerships and that sort of thing happen. And I'm hoping you'll also talk about your Nike partnership here. But if anyone from the business world wanted to work with LA Trade Tech on some form of a training partnership, how would they go about doing it? Who would they contact, and what sorts of things do you look for, and that sort of thing?
So for now, actually, anybody that's looking, you know, to partner with Trade Tech, they get the gold treatment. They come right to my office. We have a staff here to connect them. But I'm just going to give you our work number for the president's office, which is 213-763-7077. And, you know, we'd be interested in sitting down. We have 9 pathways. Right. So our largest, construction, maintenance, utilities. Second largest, advanced transportation, manufacturing. Right. Third largest is in design and media arts, you know, with the tech industry as well as with the design industry and fashion industry. Then we go next largest would be our culinary arts, professional baking program. Next largest, you know, would be our applied sciences, biotech, chemtech, process tech, engineering.
That's next the one that surprises me the most, by the way, the Chemtech one. I thought that's going to be super relevant across many, many industries.
Absolutely. So we have, you know, big water operations opportunities that's both on our construction side as well as in applied sciences. But water is such an important force in Los Angeles, and we have bond dollars to actually do a lot of work in that world. We also have, you know, a cosmetology pathway. We have our liberal arts pathway, which is much of it is in service of our career education, you know, opportunities. And we have a business and civic engagement pathway, which includes a number of programs of study. So we have a very healthy group of training and education opportunities. We have, you know, 450 faculty here on the campus with amazing skills, and 22,000 students that have committed themselves to our hands to help them be successful in the world of work and in the world of business.
Pretty amazing resource base. I've now had the pleasure of being on campus a couple of times, and you know, the first being that Redline event, which was one of the best, most informative events and exhibits I've been to in a very, very long time. And I can tell you the vibe on campus is very, very professional and very inclusive and very, very future facing, in my opinion. So we usually like to wind up by giving you the chance to make a prediction. Any predictions about the future of education, future of work, future of anything, actually?
Well, you know, it's really a challenging environment for education right now. You know, education enrollments are countercyclical to the economy. So it's a time when we actually have resources to do the educational work. But enrollments, people are, you know, many of our students are jobbing out as soon as they can get the job. So more power to them. We got 650 of our students from our construction program into joint apprenticeship this year, which is great news, you know, for them. But of course, as soon as the economy moves in another direction, we'll have way, way more students than we can handle without necessarily the resources to do so. But I would say that the things that we're challenged by the most right now is that many other parts of society aren't quite functioning the way I think people are hoping that they will. And there is still ways in which the crises that we have, and particularly in Los Angeles in the world of housing, where the housing markets have become so astronomically expensive that it's pushed lots and lots of people out of any kind of traditional housing opportunities. So, you know, we have at Trade Tech, over 20% of our students admit to having been without housing over the previous year.
Wow.
Over 60% of our students admit to having to choose between food and their other expenses. And, you know, most of our students work, but, you know, actually about 70% of our students work. 80% of our students are part-time. It would be great if more students could go full-time, but that is not what our students have as their opportunities. So, you know, we find that we have to start serving the whole student. And so, you know, we're all doing food pantries. And we'll be the first community college in the country, we think, to have a SNAP, you know, what used to be food stamps, nationally called, you know, SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in California called CalFresh. We are going to be the first qualified community college cafeteria because we have the oldest culinary arts program in the country at a community college to have the homeless program for our students. So they'll be able to get CalFresh. Those that are homeless are going to be able to get three meals of hot food every day from our cafeteria. We have to figure out the housing piece. Housing is incredibly challenging for our students. We do not have the resources that we need, and it's a challenge every day. We've had to take our scholarships and move many of them from traditional academic scholarships over to emergency grants to kind of keep our students in work. One of the big expenses are books. We're moving more and more to open educational resources that are without cost. We're moving, you know, more and more of our tools. So everybody that goes into the world of work has to have their own tools nowadays. You want to become a diesel mechanic, it's over $3,000 worth of tools you need before you can even get started. We do a big, you know, most of our fundraising that's not emergency grant funded supports is focused on tools for the trades. And so we do we're right in the middle of, we just did our big tools rally where people found out who got the award, and then we do our tools dinner where we have all of the equipment for every single person, you know, around on tables around the outside. And if we have a big celebration, they bring their families for their tools awards that they're going to get. And then transportation, if we don't know if we're going to be selected by Metro. They've committed to one pilot college of the 8 in our LA County district that voted.
Oh, that's great.
And we had the highest number of folks that voted for the giving fees to ourselves, $13 per semester to, you know, $3.25 per month. For the UPass, we actually played the key role through our South LA Promise Zone, for which we're the lead agency, to get the UPass in place, which is something that allows us at the college to just add an RFID tag to the back of the student ID to be able to get people the low monthly fee. But the low monthly fee was $163 a semester. It's going to go to $13 a semester if we get chosen to be the pilot, which will be a huge additional,
that's great,
you know, reduction in burden on our students. So we have to find ways to figure out all the pieces of the puzzle to allow students to have a chance to be successful without it really truly getting them stuck or forcing them to have to disappear from education.
Boy, if Garnett, you think what you do is important, and then you talk to someone like Larry Frank, and you realize what he's doing is really important.
I know. And the older I get, the more I realize how unimportant most of my stuff is. And
That's not true. You know, it all fits. We have plans to work together, man. Don't ever say that.
You see this? Yeah. Here I am trying to humble pie my way out of it, and he's already got a long work agenda for me set up.
You know it. Oh man!
You can't put a slider past Larry. Nope, he's gonna get you. And that's why he's so good at what he does. Because you know this is the agenda and the future challenges and future opportunities that lay before him as president of LA Trade Tech College. You know, are immense, and I can't think of a nicer guy and a guy more capable of rising to the challenge. So I just want to say thank you so much, Larry, for being on the show with us.
It's totally, totally my pleasure. Thank you so much for being willing to highlight a place like Trade Tech that honestly, most people, they drive by it. They don't necessarily see it as the place where their kids are going to come. But for our community, it's got a long history. A lot of alumni know who we are, and we are really happy to have a chance to kind of tell a little bit of our story.
Thanks, Larry. It was a pleasure having you here.
Thanks, Mark. Take care. Thank you so much, Garnett. Hang in there.
Next time, Bruno Aguiar of the Esports League is in to chat about all things esports. That was a great discussion. Can't wait to share it with you. So stay with us.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit innovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.